Okay, so we're going to start with a map this morning, so you can just go ahead and go to sleep now if you need to. Let's see if I can see where we are from here. So what we've got up here on this map is more or less Israel in the days of the New Testament. Now, Israel at that point was not a political country the way that it is now because of the Roman occupation, but this was the region of Israel. And if you were a Jew, the center of the world, let me see if I can get over here, the center of the world was Jerusalem, right here. Just for some reference, this is the Mediterranean Sea. The Sea of Galilee is up here. The Dead Sea is right here. So Jerusalem is the center of the world in New Testament times, if you are a Jew. And that's because Jerusalem is where the temple was located. And in Jesus' day, the temple is a pretty imposing sight. It was said, we have records of ancient writers who report that even visitors from Rome were impressed by this temple. But beyond the architecture, the temple, Jerusalem, there was this sense that as the host of the temple, Jerusalem was the center of all religious life. It's where good Jews had to go to make sacrifices. It's where you wanted to be when the big religious festivals were held. Jerusalem was the place to be if you wanted to be close to God. And then apart from religious life, Jerusalem was the political capital of the region too, housing all the government bureaucracy. Militarily, Jerusalem sits up in the hills, and so it's a defensible area, especially because of the fact that it had significant city walls at this point. So if you're talking about Israel, Jerusalem was where everything important happened. And I don't know if you can tell from where you are on this map, but if you see these dotted lines running here, all the dotted lines, where do they converge? Jerusalem, right? All roads lead to Jerusalem at this point. And so, as Nathanael so brazenly points out in the gospel this morning, contrasted with the grandeur of Jerusalem's religious and political importance, way up here on the map is in this area is Nazareth. Okay, and Nazareth, politically, economically, militarily, has nothing of note going on at all. It's a small backwater town, not a place anybody would really have any reason to visit. It was mainly an agricultural community, and it certainly wouldn't even be on this map if not for the fact that it was the hometown of Jesus. Religiously, well, all of the region known as Galilee, of which Nazareth sort of makes up the southern part, the region of Galilee was always a little bit suspect on the religious front because, yeah, you could be a good Jew and live in Galilee, but it was also the case that Galilee is mixed territory, meaning it wasn't just law-abiding Jews here. There were also non-believers mixed in, people who didn't keep or even consider God's law and how they lived their lives. So Nazareth, then, for about every reason you can think of, is not the kind of place that you expect to make a big splash on the religious scene, or really on any scene for that matter. And all of this is in the background as Philip finds Nathanael and in excitement tells him, "We have found him about whom Moses and the law and the prophets wrote." And it would be a safe assumption that if Philip has found somebody important, well, that he would come from the place of important people, right? Jerusalem. But then Philip tells him that it's Jesus, son of Joseph, from Nazareth. And Nathanael isn't buying it. Nazareth, he's thinking, that place is a dump. Why would Moses and the prophets write about anybody from a dump? So he pours a bucket of cold water on Philip's excitement. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? And what Philip does here, the way that he responds, is really interesting. He doesn't argue with Nathanael about the merits of Nazareth or the benefits of Jesus as an outsider, right? He simply issues an invitation. Come and see. We could use more of this. Because while real debate certainly has its place, arguing to prove that I am right and therefore you are wrong, whether we're talking about politics or religion, what good does it tend to do? It rarely changes the other person's mind. Often, all that it does is make us angry at the other party who wouldn't listen, make us feel superior to them for being able to see things the way that they really are. But come and see. It invites an entirely different experience. It acknowledges the complexity, the humanity of both parties, and it extends an invitation to be part of something, to experience something. Come and see. It's a beautiful way to talk about evangelism, to talk about inviting people into the life of a community that follows Jesus. The invitation works on Nathanael. And you know what happens? This brash guy who expected that nothing good could ever come out of a place that was less developed economically, of little significance, far from the seat of power. When Nathanael comes and sees, he's encountered by none other than Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, the King of Israel, the one who will go on to trample down death and shatter the gates of hell, true God from true God among us. And he came from Nazareth, the last place anybody would expect. Kind of makes you wonder, where do you think Jesus might show up and be from today? A dump? A hovel? Perhaps someplace we might describe with even more colorful and offensive language. Where do we think we could see the face of Jesus? Wouldn't it be in the faces of those we have written off as coming from countries that are dumps? Because we know from Matthew's gospel that it's in the least of these in whom we encounter the risen Christ. There's that old joke, right, where the first guy walks up to the second and says, "Have you found Jesus?" And the second guy says, "No, I didn't even know he was lost." And it's funny because of the wordplay, yes, but it also gets at something. It doesn't really seem to be the case, in my experience, that we can go around finding Jesus. It's actually the opposite, right? Jesus finds us. And that's the thing about this story that I love. Jesus encounters Philip, encounters Nathanael. They aren't looking for him, as far as we know. They aren't seekers or looking to be born again. But Jesus finds them. "Philip, follow me." And then Nathanael. Nathanael's just hanging out in the shade under a tree, skeptical that anything could come out of this boy from Nazareth. But Jesus encounters him too, and it changes his whole world. Jesus encounters them, and that's all that it takes. The good news for us, then, is that God, who made all people, values and cares for all that God has made, even the people we in our arrogance have written off as beneath us or unworthy. And because God cares for all God has made, in Jesus Christ, God encounters me and God encounters you. Whether or not we're looking for it, whether we're seekers or skeptics, God claims us, calls us, and promises greater things than these come and see. Amen.